Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've ever been involved in a creative media project, maybe video production, game development, something complex, and seen it just, well, run wildly over budget, or maybe just dissolve into sheer panic near the deadline, you know that just being creative isn't quite enough. You absolutely need structure. So today we are diving deep into that structure. We're talking about the work plan. It's basically the guide that shows you two really critical things, what actually needs doing, and crucially, how long each part is realistically going to take. Our mission here is to sort of transform this maybe dry concept into something powerful. We're going to unpack the key terms, the vocabulary that stops projects from falling apart, and look at the advantages of proper planning, specifically for managing creative risk.
And managing risk is exactly it. That's the heart of it, really. When you're juggling big media projects, multiple teams, special gear, often changing creative ideas, chaos is sort of the default, isn't it? So the real point of a detailed work plan right away is taking all that complexity and breaking it down systematically into tasks you can actually do and track. It's the absolute foundation for seeing how you're doing progress-wise, and making sure you hit those deadlines.
Okay, so before we dig into the nuts and bolts, the vocabulary of the plan itself, we have to acknowledge that, well, the framework it sits in, every creative media project pretty much follows this kind of fixed path, three phases.
That's absolutely right. These three phases, they define the whole project life cycle. And your work plan's got to cover everything meticulously across all three. So first up, you've got pre-production. This is all the planning, the prep work, everything from, hashing out the concepts, storyboarding, to sorting out rights, locking down the script, getting your resources lined up. It's the blueprint,
The
really.
blueprint, okay.
Then second comes production. This is where you actually make the thing, the execution phase. You're actively creating, could be filming, could be coding a game level, recording voiceovers, whatever it is.
Right, the doing part.
Exactly. And finally, post-production. It's all about finishing and delivering. So editing, sound mixing, color grading, QA testing, final mastering, getting it out the door. If your work plan doesn't properly account for the time and the resources needed in all three, well, you're kind of setting yourself up to fail from the start.
Okay, right. Let's zero in on the specific words, the vocabulary that makes a work plan actually work. Because this is where I think a lot of teams get tripped up. You can't just vaguely say stuff to do.
Yeah.
We need like precision here, defining the
Oh,
effort.
absolutely. Precision is key. Let's start with the basics. Tasks versus activities. A really common mistake we see is project managers just tracking tasks. The big chunks, like build user interface.
Okay. Seems logical on the surface.
It does. But a task is usually too broad. You need to break it down into activities, or you could call them subtasks. These are the specific granular things you actually do to complete the task. So for build user interface, your activities might be things like design wireframes, code navigation, test on mobile.
Ah, okay. Much more detailed.
Exactly. You have to track at the activity level. If you don't, you get all these tiny delays adding up. And suddenly that main task deadline just vanishes. It blows up.
Right, the little things add up fast. Okay, so we've defined the work. Now, measuring time. We hear durations and time scales. What's the difference?
Good question. Durations are specific, they're finite. It's how long one activity takes. Like code navigation, maybe that takes 2 days. That's its duration.
2 days of solid work.
Right. But time scales, that refers to the whole project, from the very first day of pre-production right through to the final delivery, the total time. And here's what trips people up. Three activities, each with a 2 day duration. They don't necessarily get done in 6 straight days. That's often missed.
Why not? It seems logical.
Because reality gets in the way. People forget about, switching between things, meetings, unexpected problems cropping up. The duration is the pure effort estimate. The time scale has to account for, well, real life.
That makes sense. Okay, this next one is interesting. Milestones. You say they are arguably the most important progress markers, but they take zero time to complete. How does that work?
Yeah, it sounds weird, but it's crucial. A milestone isn't work itself, it's a marker, a commitment achieved. They represent significant achievements, like hitting a major checkpoint you can't really go back on. So the rule is zero duration. You only hit the milestone when every single task and activity leading up to it is totally 100% done.
So it's not a task, it's proof tasks are finished.
Exactly. And in big projects, these are often really important structural or even legal points. Think about things like picture lock in film, or maybe VFX render complete, or an alpha build in games. If the work needed isn't done, you miss that milestone,
Yeah.
and that's a big red flag everyone sees.
Okay, got it. And of course, you can't hit milestones or do any tasks really without resources. What kinds of resources do we need to track, and what's the danger zone when planning them?
Right. Resources basically fall into three buckets: people, hardware, and software. You need a clear list of everything required for every single task. Who's doing it? What cameras? What editing suite? Specific software licenses?
All of it.
All of it. Now, the strategic danger isn't just not having enough resources. It's often about shared resources. Let's say you scheduled two different tasks to happen at the same time in parallel. But they both need your one senior editor or the one specialized rendering machine.
Ah, bottleneck.
Instant bottleneck. That shared resource means those tasks can't actually run in parallel, no matter what your plan says. And that is probably the single quickest way to blow your budget later, trying to rush things at the end because you fell behind schedule earlier.
That makes total sense. The planning forces you to be realistic. You can't just wish resources into existence. And if resources determine whether tasks run side by side or one after another, that leads us straight to workflow and dependencies.
Yep, workflow is just the order things happen in. The steps laid out, usually shown with arrows indicating the flow, pretty straightforward.
The sequence of events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what if just showing the sequence isn't enough? What if different teams have slightly different ideas about that sequence? That's where dependencies come in. They enforce the structure. A dependency means task A absolutely must be finished before task B can even think about starting.
It locks the sequence.
Precisely. Think of dependencies like digital duct tape holding the workflow together properly. You simply cannot do the final sound mix on a film until you have the final locked picture edit. The editing task is a dependency for the sound mixing task. Mandatory. If you try to skip a dependency or fudge it, the whole chain can break down. Usually right when you can least afford it, like near delivery, when you find a crucial piece is missing or wrong.
Okay, dependency is the enforcer. Got it. And finally, the thing that saves you when things go wrong, the safety net. Contingencies. A really good work plan has to be almost obsessed with potential failure, right? It needs contingencies.
Oh, absolutely essential. A contingency is your built-in plan for fixing problems.
Can't.
Something will go wrong eventually. There are kind of two main types. The simplest is just adding buffer time, padding the schedule with extra days just in case.
Time buffer.
Okay. But the better, more effective contingency is having an actual alternate action plan worked out in advance. Say you have a big outdoor shoot planned. Your contingency shouldn't just be add 3 rain days.
Right. What do you do if it rains?
Exactly. A detailed plan would be something like, okay, if the forecast shows an 80% chance of heavy rain 48 hours beforehand, we immediately switch to plan B. Plan B is we use the local studio space we pre-booked, and maybe we try to grab some rain shots just for B-roll if possible. You need a specific action, not just hoping the extra time solves it.
That difference, just adding time versus having a concrete alternative plan, that feels like a really valuable distinction. So, okay. We know people can use simple spreadsheets for basic plans, but what's the big advantage of using dedicated project planning software, especially for these complex media projects? Is it worth the effort, maybe the cost?
Yeah, it generally is for complex stuff. It really comes down to dynamic adjustment and cutting down on human error.
Yeah.
The software handles calculations automatically and manages that ripple effect when things change.
Ripple effect.
Yeah, so beyond the basics like calculating durations automatically or letting you easily drag and drop tasks to reorder them,
Yeah.
the absolute critical benefit is how it handles those dependencies we talked about.
Ah, okay. How so?
Well, imagine you're filming, right, and some key equipment breaks down. Suddenly, you're delayed by 3 days on that main production task. Now, if you were doing this manually in a spreadsheet, nightmare territory.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to go find every single thing that depended on filming finishing.
Exactly. You'd have to manually adjust the start date for all the dependent tasks, editing, VFX, color grading, everything downstream, and then recalculate the entire project end date. It's tedious and super error-prone.
I can see that.
The software does it instantly. Filming delayed 3 days, boom. It automatically pushes start editing 3 days later, which pushes VFX turnover 3 days later, and so on, all the way down the chain. It shows you right away the exact impact of that 3 day delay on your final delivery date. Being able to see that cascade effect immediately is just invaluable.
Wow. Okay. That alone sounds worth it.
Plus, as projects get bigger, with teams maybe in different places, special alpha software often lets multiple people update their specific tasks at the same time. It keeps everyone working from the same single up-to-date plan, one source of truth.
Okay, so pulling this all together, the phases, the vocabulary, the tools, what's the big picture takeaway?
It means a really successful work plan isn't just some static list. It's a dynamic living system. It's meticulously interconnected, and it's fundamentally built to minimize risk. It connects those three phases, pre-pro, production, post-pro. It explicitly links activities using dependencies. It measures the effort with durations, sets clear goals with milestones. The whole point of the exercise is to remove ambiguity, make sure you have the resources, and critically, ensure that when chaos does hit, and it probably will, you've already got a contingency plan ready to go to try and keep the overall project timescale on track.
And the source material we looked at really hammered home the idea of contingencies. Planning for what goes wrong seems to be the ultimate difference maker.
Absolutely. It's moving from reactive panic to proactive problem solving. So maybe here's a final thought for you, the listener, to sort of mull on. When you're planning your own complex stuff outside of work, maybe it's a big family trip, maybe a home renovation with multiple contractors. Which of these professional work plan elements do you tend to overlook the most? Is it really nailing down the dependencies, making sure contractor A is truly finished before contractor B starts? Or is it building in a proper, detailed, action-based contingency plan, not just hoping for the best? And, you know, how might consciously adding that kind of structure actually change how predictable and maybe how successful your own personal projects turn out?
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.